Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of The Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Parents need to be aware that kids are calling it by the more popular slang term, butt hash.
To interview Eric Weihenmayer, who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. But he's gay.
Jenny has traffic.
All right, I'm a little nervous, but here's my rap. All right, you're gonna have a good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking at country club, things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad, yo. It ain't too bad, no. Now things look nice on 68, and I know you ain't gonna be late. So that was your traffic rap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl, Austin Cavanaugh. Come on, give us a weather boy. Give it to us. Word.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh boy, Jenny, it's weather guy, by the way. That is something.
Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about grave robbers from outer space?
It is 29 minutes after the hour of 1, and this is the month of June in the year of our Lord, 2011. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network, looming high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to day 12. It is Wednesday. It's 503-505-6964. It is 503-505-6964. If you'd like to engage with us via the telephonic device we call a telephone, you can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com. Don Taylor can be emailed if you like. That is Don, D-W-N, at RickEmerson.com. Or you can get at us, hit us up, engage with us, scream at us virtually, excoriate us, praise us, give us binary hosannas, if you will, at RickEmerson.com or via Skype. It's all one word, Rick Emerson Show. That is our username via Skype. That is Rick Emerson Show. You can do all these. Now I'm just talking like Criswell. You can do all these things, my friends. Coming up today, here's the thing. On the board over to my right, it actually just says, it says Taser Monkey, which you were suggesting would be the name of a mascot for the program, but I was thinking that now we should just form a band called that.
Oh, that's a good name for a band,
I would
too.
Totally go see a band called Taser Monkey.
See, I like the idea of a taser monkey as an alternative to the trunk monkey, which I miss the trunk monkey, but taser monkey would be even more
Well, taser
aggressive.
Monkey's way better than trunk monkey. Trunk monkey sounds like he just sits there.
No, don't you remember the trunk monkey?
I know,
ads?
But, he's not active, though. He's a passive. He waits for you to come open the trunk.
Well, or he actually climbs out of the truck when there's a problem.
But don't you have to hit the button that says trunk monkey?
Not necessarily, because in some cases, there was like the girl who was on the date with her boyfriend, and the dad had the trunk monkey installed. And when the boyfriend was getting a little too fresh, the monkey climbed out of the truck.
Of its
and
own volition?
And like kneecapped the guy with a tire iron.
Without being summoned?
Right.
It just knew somehow.
It just knew that no good was happening.
Well, that's
and
a little creepy. How did the monkey just know?
And then there's a trunk monkey that it gives the guy what for, like throws him off the bridge or something when the guy steals the car in one of the ads.
How would the trunk monkey know that the boyfriend was getting fresh or untoward?
Watching.
Okay,
silently.
But how would... From where?
From the trunk.
How would the trunk... Okay,
there,
no.
There's a hole in the back seat.
And that's not a creepier
through?
Thing than the boyfriend copping a feel?
Oh, no, it's much creepier.
The monkey looking through like Norman Bates, you know, and how would the monkey know when the boyfriend is going, quote, too far?
Well, he's a specially trained monkey that's been taught
It sounds like he is.
You know, that the hands must never touch the boobs.
In the most unholy of ways.
Time for the trunk monkey to come out.
I want to know exactly how it is that the father would, quote, train the monkey to know what he should and should not consider acceptable behavior when it comes to sexual relations with the father's daughter.
Trunk monkeys are expensive. They, you know, it's like getting a really highly trained guard dog.
No, I see. I think you're skirting the issue here. I don't think it's a matter of expense. I don't think you can really pay somebody to train. I don't think you could really pay somebody to just deliver you a monkey that would be able to spot inappropriate sexual behavior with one of your children.
Well, you start with
that's hands-on training.
You start with like a mannequin. And a guy with, like, maybe an arm, like one of those rubber arms on a stick like you train guard dogs with. And the hand on the stick is, like, raising the mannequin's skirt a bit. And then you teach the trunk monkey to attack. And then you move your way up the body.
Well, in any event, I feel like trunk monkey, like taser monkey is a more aggressive and specially trained version of
yes.
trunk monkey. I mean, trunk monkey, that just denotes where he hangs out, where he's waiting. I mean, he could be waiting to give you a back rub or a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Taser monkey, though, you know, he's just waiting to tase. That's
yeah,
all he does.
He's only got one trick. He's only got one trick up his sleeve.
He just you know, he lives to tase. That's
one
all.
Arrow in his quiver.
That's right. But I mean, it's like, but how many of those do you really need?
Just one.
I mean, if you got a monkey that can tase people, it seems like you're pretty much. You could probably take over a small Middle Eastern country with that.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just saying. All right, so Monkey Watch coming up today. Taser Watch coming up today. Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week will join us. He will tell us all of the happenings in our fine city and in his equally fine newspaper. That's coming up. Do you see the other thing that Sam Adams, which I don't have a problem with, it is an interesting time to be alive. That thing that Sam Adams wants the city to extend medical benefits to, like, sex reassignment surgery.
No.
Wants like sex change operations to be covered under city benefits.
Well, good for him.
Which is fine. Yeah, I feel the same way. I give that Rick Emerson gives it a strong thumbs up. But it is, I mean, for people who think that, you know, I think it is sometimes tempting to believe that no progress is made on the fronts of civil liberties and civil rights and, you know, tolerance of, you know, whatever. But I mean, really, the idea that like city funding is going to be paying to, you know. To turn a Jane into a Jack or vice versa. That's not a thing that I think my parents would have considered an acceptable use of city funds. So I think we've made tremendous strides forward there.
I'd rather see money go to that than another damn trolley car.
Well, now let's be honest. I mean, you know, I mean, trolley cars. If really trolley cars,
they
if
both we, go both ways. No, wait.
No, see, I wasn't going to do that. No, see, no, it's no. You've ruined it. Now you've stepped up. You've stepped on my joke. That's okay. In any event, so Taser Watch coming up today. Monkey Watch coming up today. Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week going to be joining us. And then speaking of all things monkey, so we've got I've got a little bit of a. So we know the Jonathan Colton song "Code Monkey." So I've got a remix of that. That actually is, that Colton himself is a huge fan of. It actually is it something that it was a fan remix. It was by a woman named Kristen Schertz. And so she remixed Code Monkey, which Colton liked so much. And apparently he said that he has now updated his live performance of the song to reflect the remixed version of it.
Oh, wow.
And I actually just heard it this morning because... few people pointed me over to the interview he just did with Slashdot. So if you're a big Jonathan Coulton fan, or you know, just a fan of nerdality, you want to go over to Slashdot and read the interview that he did, I think, a couple days ago, which is really good. But he references this remix, which I have obtained, and which we will now the cube to be playing later on today. So that's that is what is on the immediate horizon today. Taser Watch, Monkey Watch, Aaron Mesh, this Coulton remix, plus Don Taylor tracking the following headlines for you on this Wednesday.
Glenn Beck launches his own book imprint. Expensive hotels are installing panic buttons in case of rapey dignitaries. And a nude man is arrested while swearing about those effing bears.
Really? Was that here?
No, that's in Mill Creek Canyon, which I'm not sure exactly where that is. I'll find out where that is.
That sounds like a thing.
That wasn't here.
That sounds like a thing that might be in Utah, but I'm not entirely certain about that. I think there is. Is it Mill or Milk?
Mill Creek.
I think there is a Mill Creek Canyon in I think there's a Mill Creek Canyon in Salt Lake or in Provo or someplace near there. So maybe there. Because it seems like bears, seems like Colbert was onto something.
Yeah.
They Stephen Colbert really was trying to, he was.
That would be Utah, yes.
He was ahead of the curve when he began warning us about the Ursine Uprising, which I think now is in fact upon us. It has come to pass. It is nigh. So there's all that, plus, you know, plus our usual crap. So that's what's, that is what is on the horizon today. And again, if you want to email us, you can do it. It's rick@rickemerson.com or Don, D-A-W-N, at rickemerson.com. I should read this, by the way. Let's see. Where's my my Facebook page? Oh, and so for somebody asking me if those Blake Lively photographs are out and it's sort of just is on the internet, I'm assuming.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that they're not. Siegfried, this is the mark of a true friend. He actually took the time to send me the photos directly. We're going to make me, like, hunt them down or, like, download them or something. He just sent them to me in an email. And then he thoughtfully put some of them lower in the email, as though this is even a concern here, but lower in the email under a heading that said, not safe for work. So, because there's the best part about it is that her publicist apparently responded by saying, because it's the woman in the photo, by the way, appears to be Blake Lively, is taking photos of herself in the altogether, or in her birthday suit, as my mother would say, using an iPhone 4 with the black bumper around it. And so her publicist responded by saying, Blake doesn't even own that phone, doesn't even own a phone like that. And so the very best part is that, like, so when Siegfried sends me the email, the first photograph in the email is of a picture of her sitting at, like, a Mets game with that, like, exact phone, like, texting somebody. So right above a whole bunch of photographs of her, you know, all unclothed and whatnot, taking photographs of herself. Photographs, which I have to say, came out really, really well, considering that she's, like, doing them with an iPhone, like, in a mirror in an underlit room.
Yeah, I will answer whoever was asking. Yes, those photos are so easy to find. In fact, I had to go out of my way to not look at them this morning.
Really?
Because
why would you do that?
First of all, just really don't care. Boobs don't really do that much for me. Second of all,
why is it always people who have boobs who don't care about them? That is, you know, it's like youth being wasted on the young.
Because we see them all the time. Because we had to spend years in, like, high school gym classes looking at boobs. Probably much the same reason that you don't really need to look
at
our penises.
In what gym classes are you seeing boobs all the time?
Showers, gym, changing in locker rooms.
Really?
Yeah. And showering together. You had those big group communal showers that you always had to, like,
Now you're just
into.
Effing with us. Now you're just saying it to screw
seriously.
With us. So all of my, so really, all the things that we fantasized about the girls' locker room were in fact true.
Pretty much, yeah.
Excellent. That's wonderful.
I mean, we weren't snapping towels at each other and giggling.
Well, no, you're too busy making out.
Mostly we were just walking around going, I'm so uncomfortable with everyone being able to see my boobs.
That's great.
But, you know.
Yeah, I got to tell you that, like, at no point when I was in high school, I lived, can I just tell you this? Never mind. I'll get back to it.
But my other reason for not caring about the Blake Lively photos is there's something about her that I just dislike. And I think it's because I realized this recently. The thing that I dislike the most in people is smugness. And she just always seems really, really smug. And I say this as a viewer of Gossip Girl. Blake Lively just seems smug.
Well, you know, in all fairness, I would probably be hella smug if I were her.
Yeah, I probably would too.
I mean, really, whether or not she's anybody's, you know, particular type, a particular cup of soup, cup of tea, bowl of tea.
Cup of tea.
Cup of tea. Whether, you know, I'm just saying, it's like she's Blake Lively and I'm not. So I would be full on. My smugness would know no bounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just be, I'd be a smuggery like nobody's, I'd be a smug factory. So Siegfried sent these to me last night, and I was looking for them this morning, and of course doing that thing that we now all do of, like, zooming in and trying to see if, you know, so you can be some jag off on a message board saying about how I see pixelation, these are Photoshop, but they They do look exceptionally real. The photographs, anyway. So I am a huge fan of those. Somebody, by the way, Jesus in the OC, who apparently I now have to read his comments all the time because he feels that he's been neglected the last few days, that I've been overlooking many of his pithy contributions. He just says, "This is really why I love people, and not just people, but like people in our audience." He says, of course, in all caps about Blake Lively. Presumably about Blake Lively, because otherwise it's about you, in which case I would imagine you might feel a little threatened. He says, "I would wreck her, just." That's what makes it great, is that the just is a separate sentence. "I would wreck her, just." And then he says, "I would devastate her like Hurricane Andrew to the Floridian coastline." That's wonderful.
Wow.
Well done. Excellent. That's fantastic. All right, let's see. John is asking, where can we get these photographs? Where, damn it, all I can find are denials. Denials! Well, apparently when Don was online, they were just giving them out like packets of soap.
Actually, I guess it was, and I realized that what I saw was, I saw the headline about her boob pictures, and what I saw was the story I didn't click on was that apparently she's dating Leonardo DiCaprio now.
Well
and
done.
I didn't hear about that either, so I didn't click on that. So.
Excellent. Well done, Leo. All right. There's a nation of men approving of that. Let's see. I'm just saying out loud what we're all thinking. Yes, we were all thinking that we would, quote, wreck her like Hurricane Andrew on the Floridian coastline.
That's exactly the words that were going through my mind. Exactly it.
It's like you're in my head. It's like there's an echo in the room with us. That's fantastic. Somebody else says, are you going to be talking about her pictures all day? Please to be letting us know so I can tune out. Well, now I'm not going to let you know. Maybe the answer's yes. Maybe the answer's no. I'm not going to tell you. All right. Well, if anybody's unable to find those, see now I feel like it's almost my duty. Constitutional obligation, my obligation as a human to share those with everyone, because I got them all. They're sitting right here. Hold on. Just give me a second. I'm going to look at one right now.
No, we have a website. I mean, you could share them on the website.
Let me look here. Hold on. Wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the stuff. All right, hold on, I gotta look at all six. Wait. Yep. Excellent. Okay, fantastic. It's 503-505-6964. Thank you for joining us. Oh, and then we'll be talking about, here's the thing. We're not gonna be talking about Blake Lively all day, we can talk about bears, which are apparently just everywhere.
Yeah.
So there are two bears currently, or as of this morning, that were on the loose.
Well, we had a bear in Vancouver. Which I don't know if they caught the Vancouver bear or not. We had the bear in Tualatin, which they did shoot with a tranquilizer dart and catch. And then later we have a story about a guy who was just apparently running around a picnic area with no clothes on, screaming about bears.
Okay, all right. So there's two bears and then a guy upset about bears, all of whom are on the loose at one point today.
Yeah.
Does it seem like... Now, is this one of those things that actually is a statistically large... preponderance of bear happenings, or is this like that thing of a couple years ago where everybody was afraid of sharks and it was like no more shark attacks than normal?
No, I think it's normal. I think this happens pretty much every spring. You just get more bear sightings. They start wandering into areas where people can see them.
It's just that we've decided to fixate on bears this year.
Yeah,
bears are the new
this week.
Bears are the new shark.
Yeah, I think last year it was cougars. Okay. There were like bobcat and cougar sightings like every week. Now this time it seems to be bears.
All right, excellent. All right, let me just check that off. Okay, so let's see, Blake Lively, bears. All right, we'll get to those. And then I know that you have a. You told me this before the show. You have some sort of an etiquette question to ask.
I do.
That we'll get to here in just a skosh. So yes, we've got the Monkey Watch coming up today. Taser Watch coming up today. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. We'll play this Jonathan Colton remix here in just a bit. We do want to thank our friend Thomas Gill, who helped to steer us out of a technological thicket, out of an undergrowth, a woods, a computational Cambodia. That we were stuck in for the last day or so because there was some sort of a... I guess the place that actually hosts... The place that hosts the files for the Rick Emerson Show and also for Legion of News, although, again, we've told people to kind of go to Cascadia.fm. Remember those? Apparently, two things happened. One, they were transferring stuff from one server to another. They were sort of expanding or they were doing... You know, they're installing a redundancy or whatever. And at that moment, God chose to plague them with, like, a rain of fire. So, literally, I think the building and the servers, if they actually did... Like, they just went up in smoke. So that's why we were down for, like, 18 or 19 hours. So for people who were trying to listen last night or were trying to, download or get Legion of News stuff, if you were running into some sort of difficulty, not your imagination, not your computer, not your provider, that was all. Wasn't even on our end. It was just on the end of the guy, who, you know, the company that hosts the... it hosts the files. But that has been remedied, the backup, and I believe that said redundancy is now in place. So that shouldn't happen again. So Rick Emerson regrets the error. We've got that little bit of business. Then I was going to say something else. Oh, don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be joined by Mr. Keelan King. He's going to be in the studio to talk about the upcoming release of Star Pilots Lament. I'm sorry. His new release, Star Pilots Lament, which comes out next Tuesday, and he's going to be doing the release party for that, the listening party, rather, this coming Saturday at the Space Room, then with the release next Tuesday, and he'll be in the studio tomorrow, that is Thursday, June 2nd, talking about that that full-length album, which I keep forgetting to ask him if I can play a couple of those cuts on the air, so I might do that later on today as well. Oh, and then somebody just sent me the link for this from Egotastic. I love this country and are completely... irrational yet entrenched incapability for determining what is important and what isn't. It says in, I swear to God, like 100-point type, breaking news, all caps, purported Blake Lively topless pictures fly across net. That's great that they're writing it all like Walter Winchell style as well. Let's see. I'm just going to read a little bit of this and then we'll move on. So if everybody's...
I'm glad they bothered to specify, though, that it was photos of her boobs that were flying across the net.
As opposed to the boobs themselves.
Not actually her boobs.
Well, that would be impressive because it would mean that we had some sort of teleportational device or some sort of... I mean, that we were just basically beaming things Star Trek style from one end of the internet to the other.
Or that she just has magical flying boobs.
Well, we don't know that that's not true. This just makes it sound... That would have made it sound like it was Mike TV just being flung across Wonka's testing lab. So before everybody goes and gets their, like, ovaries and a bunch about us dwelling on the Blake Lively photos, let me just read this, then we'll move on. Egotastic says, thank you, many readers, for alerting us to super sexy pictures racing across the internet of somebody who looks remarkably and incredibly like a very naked Blake Lively snapping her own photographs in a movie set trailer and perhaps a bathroom where all the sexiest activities happen. Looking... Let me just... Here's the thing about journalism. Let me just... We'll segue out of this opening bit here. Well, this isn't really the sexy bed that I was looking for, but this will do. We'll use this.
It's not sexy at all.
It isn't. This is Keelan's thing. That just makes me feel awkward. Hold on a second. Let me find the... Here's my Intertron instrumental. Well, this is just nerdy, but we'll keep this. So here's the thing. I know you and I have talked about the... that there's a particular voice that a lot of people write in on the internet that's not quite snark, but it's not quite... It's not quite sarcasm, but it's not quite sincerity. There's this sort of... I equate it with being like a sub-Gilmore Girls type of writing. Like, if you were to take Amy Paladino and just hit her in the head a lot with, like, a wrench, to where she wasn't quite as smart as she used to be, and then gave her a blog, that's what a lot of the internet seems to be written in. But also, like, I understand that there's language that is appropriate, and I don't mean profanity, I mean just, like slang and terms that are used on the internet. There's a casual, yet codified style of internet writing for sort of lifestyle-based stories. In other words, if you're not writing hard news. And so, I mean, I get that. Yet at the same time, it's like sometimes you read stuff and you just wonder exactly what language and what journalism is going to look like in like 5 or 10 years. So I'll just read this to you as it is written. It says, thank you, many readers, for alerting us to super sexy pictures racing across the internet of somebody who looks remarkably and incredibly like a very naked Blake Lively, snapping her own photos at a movie set trailer and perhaps a bathroom, looking all kinds of hot-bodied and fully exposed. It really is hard to imagine, like, Edward R. Murrow describing somebody as being all kinds of hot-bodied. I know what it means, but, I mean, just if you were to analyze all of those words separately and the way they play together. Anyway, they did have the good sense to capitalize internet, though, so it's sort of hit or miss. Who knows where these photographs first appeared, the article continues, or if they're really Blake Lively, though the resemblance is uncanny. With green... Remind me to talk to you about a thing here in a second. All right. With Green Lantern only a couple weeks away, does anybody find it mysterious that first Blake Lively is suddenly being spotted? They say, quote, spotted. I don't know why you would put spotted in quotes unless they're implying that she wasn't really seen, or maybe that those were planted, I guess. With Leonardo DiCaprio leaving hotels and rumors of a secret tryst, and now these certain to cause a stir pictures appear. A coincidence, promotional stunt, maybe or hardly. We shall see. Enjoy. Anyway, so, and then we go. So, her representative claims the photos are absolutely fake by saying that she does not, in fact, own the phone in question. And then that was followed up by the picture of her, like, sitting on the set, checking her email on the exact phone. So, there you go. So, there's that. Hey, can I just tell you this? I don't even now remember what side of the whole argument I was taking about periods going inside of quotes or parentheses or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. All I remember is that, like, I said something, and I thought it was the thing that Todd the corpse said, and then he just posted some, like, seethingly angry post about how I was mischaracterizing his position on it.
Yeah.
But can I just tell you that there was a thing on Dig yesterday about how there apparently is now some huge war going on in the world of academia about what the actual standard will be for placing periods inside of quotes and parentheses or on the outside of quotes and parentheses. And then Christy Turnquist, I believe, from the Oregonian, actually retweeted it and said that she was hoping it would, quote, be resolved once and for all, end quote. So I'm just saying, whatever side of the fence I was on, it appears that that side is correct, because there is no consensus. There is no one. There's yeah. no one consolidated way of looking
like
at it.
There's like a European standard and an American standard, and I think it waffles back and forth.
I hew to the European standard, because here's the thing. You know what they gave us? Europeans gave us the business, the formatting of typing a telephone number by using periods and not dashes, which I wholeheartedly embrace. I do that especially because it seems to make certain people really angry, and so that's just like a little extra, like, added bonus for me. Let's see. And then, in response to the claim that the pictures are not in fact of Blake Lively, Jesus just types "lies" in huge letters followed by an exclamation mark.
So, speaking of things that are worded awkwardly, by the way, apparently the tagline, the motto, if you will, of the website Egotastic is "because men think differently."
Okay, and?
Well, different from
people who aren't men.
Okay.
That seems like a reflect. That's just a thing where you just have to look at the words to figure out what the sentence means.
From each other, men think differently.
I don't think that's a plausible interpretation of the sentence.
It just seems...
Yeah. It seems like you're straining to find things complicated today that really aren't that
like
complicated.
It. Maybe I am. Maybe everything just seems complicated.
This is like whatever
today.
That story was like 5 minutes into Legion of News, where you were perplexed by something that I actually understood, which like never happens. So maybe we're having some sort of opposite. How are you doing today? You seem a little out of it today.
I'm a little weird today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just been... Well, I started the day with the whole acupuncture massage thing.
I did not know that.
And then so that kind of puts me in a different sort of frame of mind. And then I came in here and...
Did you get both acupuncture and massage?
Yes.
Now, when you say different frame of mind, what does that mean? Because I know people that acupuncture puts them to sleep for the whole day.
It doesn't put me to sleep, but it I don't know. It's like I go into this kind of woozy headspace, and then after it's done, I feel kind of lightheaded and very... I get like a real endorphin rush from it, but I feel a lot calmer and more relaxed than usual. And the calm is good for me, but I'm not so sure that it's good for the show. I think I tend to be...
You didn't seem calm at all when you came in today.
Really?
You were like sweating and rushing around and bumping into things and cursing.
Well,
really, if that's calm, I think you need like a dictionary.com subscription.
Well, I was calm up until the point when I discovered that the thing, the printer wasn't printing, and that kind of screwed me up. And then also, on my way here, I stopped to get a sandwich and a cup of coffee, and I realized when I was like a block from the office that I hadn't gotten all my change. I paid with a 20 and she only gave me the change back from a 10. And so now I'm like out 10 bucks. But it was like 15 minutes until we went on the air. And so I didn't really feel like I had the time to go. And
how far away is this?
It's only about 6 blocks away, but I hadn't printed out the news yet.
Oh, I see.
If I'd known that the printer wasn't going to work.
So you're out $10.
Yeah, and now it's been like, that was at 11 o'clock.
And you paid with cash? Yeah, you paid with a 20 and she gave you change for a 10?
Yeah.
Well.
And there's some kind of a window in which you can go back and say, hey, I didn't get enough change, but, you know, 4 hours really isn't that window.
It depends on how badly you really want the... You really want the money back. Because, I mean, if you really wanted to make a federal case out of it, you could probably go back and really, like, dig your heels in, and then they would be obliged to... I guess there's really only...
To count all the money in the register.
It's not even that. It's if they're a place that has... If they have any sort of, like, cameras in there, then I guess you could actually, like, you know, you could actually have them go back and, like, say, well, like, it was here at, like, 11:15, and they go back and look at
that. It's a little kiosky place.
No, that's not going to work.
So, yeah.
No. I would say that...
I'm screwed.
I would say that if more than, like, 10 minutes passes, that you're going to be completely hosed on that front.
So I was feeling really good, but then I was, like, running a little late, as I usually am when I'm getting the massage stuff, because the 80 traffic today, both coming down here this morning to go to the appointment and getting here from his office, was just abominable. Like, we're having one of those days when it's raining and everyone forgot that they know what that is.
What part of town is he in?
He's out at like 99th and Burnside.
Oh, yeah, that's no good. Yeah, you don't want to be up there.
Yeah, and I tried to hop on the 84, and it was just a parking lot. And, yeah, and then I got here, and then the $10, and then the printer wasn't working. So that's when things started to get a little bit sweaty for me, because I had 10 minutes until we were on the air, and I was like, crap, I have no news.
No, it was one of those days, and you this happens... This music bed is kind of weirding me out. Hold on, I'm just going to go back to the thing. I'm going to go back to this. It was one of those days where you come into the studio and there's... And I don't mean this the way it sounds. It's the only example I can come up with. It's the only comparison. It's one of those days where you come into the studio and you are like... And you can just choose whichever of these you find the least insulting.
Good.
It's one of those days where you come into the studio and you are either... You seem either like the Tasmanian Devil or Pigpen... You're stumbling with, like, carrying this huge cloud of just, like, chaotic detritus sort of circling you, like the gaseous encircling of Saturn.
Patrick says that's when I'm like Donald Duck, and that I'm just pin feathers are flying off me in every direction.
Yeah, no, that is the thing where it's like I keep expecting to look up above you and see like a word balloon filled with like strange comic book cursing symbols, you know, like ampersands and like, you know, backward question marks and, you know, stars and whatever. So, yeah, that is one of your like two modes in the morning. So, all right, well, and here's the, by the way, I do feel your pain on the tipping thing only because I was at. This is why, like, if you're gone for more than 5 or 10 minutes, you're never going to get it back. Because I was actually at what the hell was it? It was like at the Marshalls or the place in Lloyd Center. Because I was there buying, I don't know, like a pair of socks or something. Because that's a place like Marshalls is a place that I would totally go to buy a thing that I view as just like a clothing staple, where it's just like some sort of functional item because they're just dirt cheap. But it was that thing where it's like I'm standing there and the woman says, "Okay, it'll be, you know, however much," and I give her a 20, and this was like 3 weeks ago. Does exactly the same thing. Gives me the change for a 10. And it's like, I hadn't even walked away. It's like, I give her the 20, she rings it up, gives me change for 10, slams the register, and then I just stand there, and she looks at me, and I say, "I gave you 20, you just gave me change for 10. And she says, no, sir, you gave me a 10. And it was like right there, and it was like, and I actually had to, and there was a whole thing of like the manager had to come, and wow. It was like, she had to, you know, like, she had to open up the drawer and, you know, and look, and it was like she had taken the 20 and put it in the drawer with the 10s, and so there wasn't, like, I didn't have to, like, fight it any further. But that was like with me standing there, never actually having walked away. I mean, it was there the entire time, and people really, you know... People kind of dig in about that, like, immediately, because it's like you are implicitly accusing them of theft. That's the thing. It's like it is a de facto accusation of either idiocy on their part or that they are out and out, like, attempting to defraud you. Yeah. And so immediately they get defensive, and then it must have been your fault. So God help you once your car is out of, like, eyesight, like, once you're around the block, you probably are best just chalking that up to experience. I'd say you got nowhere to go with that. I'm just saying. I mean, I don't mean a big.
You're right. No, I knew. I was just kind of. It just niggles at me a little bit.
It what?
Niggles? Niggling? A niggling thing? It's niggling.
Oh, okay. Like a nagging sensation.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Let's see. It is 503-505-6964. Don't forget Don Taylor and all of her musings can be heard this afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific time at Hamfisted Radio. That's at Cascadia.fm or at HamfistedRadio.com. In the meantime, in between time...
And now, from the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
Most Americans don't immediately think of natural gas as an alternative to gasoline, yet in other parts of the world, as many as 2% of the vehicles on the road are fueled by natural gas. With Chrysler's soon-to-be owner Fiat successfully selling natural gas vehicles in Europe and South America, analysts have suggested that Chrysler would develop and sell natural gas cars and trucks as one element of its green strategy. Now, the company has confirmed that. Bob Lee, Chrysler's vice president for engines and electrified propulsion systems, said last week that the technology is very actively being worked on. He said, however, the company's NGVs would arrive by 2017, which will disappoint those hoping that Chrysler would join Honda in offering natural gas powertrains in the near future. Honda is the only maker to offer natural gas passenger vehicles in the U.S., selling about 2,000 of its Civic GX models last year. The company said recently it would sell its Civic natural gas model in all 50 states when the Civic line is redesigned for 2012. General Motors also offers offers exploring the addition of natural gas-powered engines to its line of V8-engined Ram pickups.
I know this makes me an idiot, but I don't understand what natural gas is. I mean, is it like in a cave somewhere where we go get it?
Yes.
It's not in a cave. That's silly. Well, it's not in a cave. Where is it? I mean,
it's underground in caverns, basically. Yes, we
is it like helium?
That's why we have pipelines for it. We tap into it, and it comes.
So it's
out.
it's like regular oil. It comes out of the
yeah,
out of the ground.
Except it's a gas.
Except it's a gas. Okay, and it's better. Why?
It burns cleaner.
Okay, so it doesn't put crap. It doesn't put doesn't schmutz up the place.
Right.
Why can't they make a car that runs on helium? That seems to be a thing. Why? Here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to reverse engineer.
Well, helium is natural. I don't know. You go ahead. Never mind.
What were you going to say?
I don't know. I was going to say something about it being highly explosive,
that's
and
not
I realized natural gas is as well.
No, so. Helium's not explosive. You're thinking of hydrogen.
There you go.
But
helium is too, which is why
it's not.
Okay,
it's not. That's right. No, because that's a thing. They wouldn't give children balloons full of that
all
if
right.
It was highly explosive. You are thinking of hydrogen. Here, kids, have a bag of gasoline.
And we probably wouldn't be allowed to just breathe it in for
no,
fun.
No,
we?
That's a thing that they would say. That's a thing that they would say no to.
Okay.
What was I saying? We need to, reverse engineer this somehow, where we find the thing that is like the least wanted on Earth. You know, like the substance we just, you know, like something we just hate, and then just offer some huge bounty
hippies.
To a guy who makes a car. Sure, hippies or you know, fruitcake or Andy Dick, and we just offer somebody you know like a bounty if they make a car that runs on that. I mean, seriously, like if you just said, I mean, well, there was that place. It was in France or Britain or something where they're going to be powering all the streetlights in their park, like on dog poo,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, you know, we had to do something like that. We just like, you know, it just, we are just a car that burns styrofoam because we're always talking about or plastic bags. We're always talking about, hey, how are we going to get rid of all these plastic bags? A car that burns plastic bags from the Safeway. There you go. Bam. That is solving like 900 problems at once right there. And plus, it would be awesome. I believe in the, you know, Yankee ingenuity. I believe in the power of the American mind. I don't understand why we can't do that. We start from the solution and we just figure out what it takes to get there.
What if you could have a car that burned whatever the one thing was that you hated the most?
You mean what would it burn?
Well, I mean, everyone
would burn the members of Steely Dan.
But everyone could have that. Uh-oh. That would be great. Like mine could be, say, like salesmen.
Yeah.
Because I really hate salesmen.
No, that's it. Well, I mean, doesn't it seem like, I mean, it's like we're at a point where you got to be able to just have whatever that thing is in Back to the Future, you know, where he just like the Trash-O-Matic or whatever, where he just, you know, it's called the Fusion-O-Matic or something, but he just jams a bunch of crap from the trash can in there. I mean, it doesn't seem like it ought to be that difficult, especially if we could somehow artificially accelerate the aging process, the breakdown process, then it creates a gas. Da-da-da-ba. I don't know why somebody doesn't get right on that. I guess it's because Google is too busy just building robotic cars that are going to, you know, like roam the populace like looking for John Connor.
Everybody's busy figuring out ways that we can store our data in a cloud.
Or that I can send pictures of Blake Lively to all the listeners at once.
Or your penis, if you so desired. Got lots of penis pictures.
How can I put my penis in the cloud?
Putting
my penis in the cloud sounds like a great dessert. I'm here to talk to you about penis in a cloud. It's tasty. Yeah, I need the pudding.
Is that your Bill Cosby impression?
Sort of.
That was terrible.
Yeah, I know. But you knew who I was doing.
How terrible could
it be?
Jacques. When you said pudding.
Okay. If the communication is just there to convey an idea. You knew it was Bill Cosby. I win. Anyway, I'm not going to put my penis in a cloud. I mean, not today. Not like right now. We'll charge 64 cents for that. But what was I saying? And so Thomas Gill was weighing in on this whole bit, because I guess the place where we actually store the visual aid photos for the program, when we say, like, go to rickemerson.com/pictures, that is actually a service where you are not allowed to post nudity. So I would need to find a separate place to post the Blake Lively photos. And Thomas has graciously offered part of it, some of the server space on his server where these things can reside. Well done. So you're a good person. I'll get that taken
care
of.
He's a giver.
Yeah, really. Mr. Fusion. That's what the thing was called. Excellent. All right. That's fantastic. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
two upscale Manhattan hotels that were the scenes of separate but similar high-profile sexual assaults in recent weeks have agreed to equip housekeepers with panic buttons that will allow them to quickly alert security if they feel threatened. The Pierre and the Sofitel hotels decided to begin implementing the systems, which will be similar to those used by the elderly to alert a central security office after meeting with hotel union officials. A prominent Egyptian businessman, Mahmoud Abdel Salam Omar, was arrested Monday after being accused of sexually abusing a maid at the Pierre. That incident came roughly 2 weeks after former IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn was arrested on a number of charges, including sexual assault and attempted rape at the Sofitel. Both men have steadfastly denied the charges against them. While details of the accusations differ greatly, both assaults allegedly occurred after the men locked the maids in their hotel rooms. Peter Ward, president of the New York Hotel and Motel Trades Council, said, "Let everybody in the world traveling to New York know that when they stay in a hotel room, the person cleaning that room is armed with a button that they can immediately press if you're stupid enough to get inappropriate."
I do really wonder how long it's going to be, though, before somebody, before one of these, before one of these defendants, one of these guys who's accused of something, and I think by definition it would have to be a guy who was wrongly accused, which isn't, you know, like that uncommon. I wonder how long it's going to be before one of them just like says enough is enough and just files some massive lawsuit to reveal the name of the woman accusing him, you know, and just, you know, I mean, which that just seems to be like a weird, that seems to be one of those weird, like, you know, petticoats and knickers era laws that we just cling to because of this illusion that women are fragile creatures.
Yeah.
That's just a thing that has become more and more, it just stands out to be more and more with every passing year. Plus the fact that a lot of newspapers still will refer to the unnamed accuser as, quote, the victim, which seems, that seems like a thing that the Associated Press ought to like, it should have stamped out like decades ago, because that just seems journalistic. That seems factually inaccurate, or at least not provably accurate when they're doing it.
It's more of the sort of infantilizing of women that we tend to still do societally. I mean, it's one thing to keep the names of children out of court documents and stuff if they, you know, ostensibly have been victimized
right.
by someone. But if a woman is coming out of somewhere and accusing someone of a crime, to just shield her name from the press, I mean, there's no good reason for it.
No,
I mean,
it just seems weird.
If you actually are the victim of a crime, you have nothing to be ashamed of.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, is it sends the message that somehow it's like, you know, that, yeah, that you are...
Women need to be protected in ways that men don't.
Well, and that it is permanently, you know, and that you can't be seen in public or known, have your name revealed, because you are forever tarnished and
yes.
tainted as a person. Well, in any event, so the panic button and blah, 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 with the whole groping and the hey, and the don't touch me there.
Right. And the Hotel and Motel Trades Council, the union, is lobbying for state legislation that would make the buttons mandatory at all New York hotels. And they're going to ask for the panic buttons be included in next year's union contract.
There ought to be – women ought to just, you know, like they ought to start arming themselves with some sort of undergarment that, I mean, if improperly removed or just rent asunder, that it just, you know – I don't know, that it just gasses everybody within like a 3-foot perimeter or something.
Or that it has like spikes that protrude or something.
They have
those anti-rape condoms.
I was
going to
say, those anti-rape condoms that they have in Africa, man, those things, they don't play down there. That is a thing. Put your willy in that, you just get to pull back just a stump. I mean, that's no, yeah. I remember just being so horrified and yet sort of like, you know, thinking it was kind of awesome when I saw the, because that really is, and if anybody doesn't see what we're talking about, it really is, it's like those things, it's like those spiky things your mom used to use to curl her hair, except it's just got a whole bunch of spikes on the inside, and apparently if you insert your Johnson in there, you're going to be staying either be staying right there but not causing a ruckus for a while, or you're going to be running away, and I would imagine slowly and haltingly and probably at an ever decreasing rate of speed. Before the man finally follows the trail of blood to wherever you are. It was sort of great to see, but at the same time, it just made me cringe just reflexively. You were listening to the Rick Emerson radio program right here at RickEmersonShow.com. Still to come, we get your Monkey Watch, your Taser Watch, Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week, presumably calling in at some point today. Or, you know, not. Who's to say? We were supposed to be seeing Kelly Clark, and I texted her and let her know. I have to double check and let's make sure she heard. She was going to be coming by later on in the afternoon toward the end of our show. But it turns out Greg and Sarah are going to be here late, and you are actually leaving New Hampshire. So it would really just be me. And it's, let's be honest, it's like just the privilege of coming by and seeing me is not motivation enough for like anybody to do anything. So she was going to be coming by with her baby. Mm. And et cetera, et cetera. And then Cheryl, like, this morning demanded, like, a photo of me holding the baby. And I said, like, under, like, in what world do you think anybody would give me a baby to hold? And then she seemed to think that Kelly would actually make me hold the baby just because it would make me uncomfortable.
I can see that.
And then that just makes me, like, question, you know, like Kelly's acumen and fitness to be a parent. I mean, you know, if really the first thing that comes to mind when you're here with your baby is make Rick hold it, it just seems like that's going to end badly.
Hey, I held a baby in this very room.
So, yeah, I know. But,
you know, if I can hold a baby, you can hold a baby.
Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Visitors at the Terraces Picnic Area in Mill Creek Canyon, which we now know is in Utah, saw more than a scenic landscape on Sunday when authorities arrested two men, including one suspect who allegedly wandered around picnic sites with his pants down to his ankles while yelling obscenities. Rangers for the U.S. Forest Service arrived at the picnic area after witnesses called to report a partially nude man who at one point shouted out concerns about, quote, effing bears, according to charges filed Tuesday in U.S. District
Court. Not effing is like a verb, but it's sort of a descriptor.
Right.
Okay.
He was actually using the word.
Okay, pejorative, yes.
Douglas Biddle, 29, and his friend Andrew Nunlist Young, also 29, were both arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance, a misdemeanor by officers who located them in the canyon. Rangers and two officers from the Unified Police Department arrived but didn't immediately spot them. Officers found Nunlist Young wandering in the Porter Fork Homes area, I guess that means in a residential area nearby, without a shirt in 38-degree weather. Nunlist Young was allegedly behaving lost and incoherent, according to charges. Nunlist Young told officers he was, quote, tripping off of psilocybin mushrooms and that he didn't know where his friend Biddle was. Nunlist Young was able to provide officers with a description of Biddle's vehicle, which officers found parked in another area. And officers found Biddle, the one who was walking around yelling about the effing bears, quote, spaced out and acting like a 5-year-old.
Okay. File mushrooms as being yet another drug that I don't wish to ever take in my life, because I just that is the thing. It's like I would totally be one of these guys. Like I know that there's just like a big creepy toy box of weirdness in my brain that is just, you know, that is most of the time it's just sort of padlocked shut. And that's a thing I don't ever wish to open, because you always end up being a guy like this. It's never where you're just causing a ruckus or getting into a fight or just, just a guy like, you know, at the park like talking to squirrels. I mean, you're always some guy that's rushing around nude in a Viking helmet, you know, talking about the seventh seal being broken and like shoving your penis into a mailbox. Maybe. Or I don't know. Maybe not. I'm just saying that it seems like those are the guys who really tip over in a really bizarre and sideways fashion.
If you have anything notably askew in your brain, you might want to stay away from the hallucinogens.
Yes. Well, how would I know is the thing. I mean,
I think
I suspect,
though.
But I don't. Yeah. I don't truly know. I mean, but that's you know. But the suspicion is enough for me. Like just the supposition that I have things that are amiss inside my brain. I don't really need to have, because it seems like the downside of that being true is, you know, is so much worse than the upside of whatever, like, you know, cleansing of my perceptual doors that might occur. That's not a thing that I need to
I can't about. Wait to hear what happens to you when you do the sensory deprivation tank.
Oh, that's going to be, by the way, so that's going to be Saturday. I'm glad you asked about that. Because Todd the Corpse, who now apparently just has like a sideline profession of just posting snark on my Facebook page. But he actually emailed me about that yesterday. He and I were emailing back and forth. And Todd the Corpse said something about the sensory. Oh, he said, by the way, are you going to be doing the sensory deprivation tank? And I said, yeah, I think I'm going to be doing it Saturday afternoon. And he said, I'm curious to know how it goes. I'm a bit nervous to be trapped with my own brain and no escape for that long. Godspeed to you. But that is going to be happening this Saturday. And it's not going to be at the place on Hawthorne, which is where I was originally going to go to. Lara, actually, as we were sort of finishing up the final sort of like, you know, march to get all the book stuff done, I was, you know, it just busy and just not sleeping a lot, just getting a little frazzled with things. And so she actually, because she's the best wife ever, she actually went ahead and purchased like one of those like session. It's actually this. Here's the thing. How great is this? It's actually a massage. It's a sauna. Like a sort of, you know, like you're like a, you know, where you're sitting there in a towel talking to Frank and Dino. It's a sauna followed by a massage, then the float, which is awesome. So it's at a different place, but it's basically the same thing. And it's like in a tank, and it's the salinated water, and you get in, and there's a whole day, woo, you're floating around, and then And then you're in touch with your, you know, and then you're in touch with your inner ki, or whatever.
And then you come out and you tell us who your spirit animal is.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Taser so monkey.
That is going to be this Saturday. So you can set your alarm and, you know, and maybe just sort of look idly at your watch and go, I wonder how crazy Rick is right now. But it's going to be like 3:15. And it's for an hour. The other place is typically for 90 minutes. This, I think it's because it's part of a package where it is like a massage and a thing and whatever. It's only an hour, but it seems like an hour is enough to sort of get, you know, like a good sense for how how that's going to work for me.
Yeah, I'm face down on a table with the acupuncture needles in me for 20 minutes. I start getting twitchy.
Yeah, so. I mean, and I know this defeats the entire purpose of the thing, but I almost, part of me, because I'm just retarded, part of me almost feels like I should be like live blogging from inside the sensory deprivation tank, which I know then defeats the entire, that's like a Heisenberg uncertainty principle thing where I've destroyed the concept just by doing it. But I am going to take with me, I think I'm going to take my, the little, the Adderall, the personal little recorder that we have here, the audio, or maybe just my iPhone, and just record, you know, my thoughts immediately after getting out, you know, where you can just hear me like, you can hear me like William Hurt style just going,
see, what would be great is if you took, like, the Adderall or something, you just, like, duct taped it to, like, the wall of the tank and had the...
Maybe I could do that.
The thing that just... the sound activated thing, so if you say something, it'll record it.
Okay, no, that's actually not. I might be able to find a way to do that. That might actually be interesting, or even just have it outside and then like trail a little microphone just in, you know, in, so it's, you know, so as not to disrupt the experience, but to then, you know, but so then like when I, you know, when I start tasting the colors, that everything is, you know, can be recorded for posterity. So that'll be So I am kind of excited about it. I'm not getting my hopes up because I don't know that it's going to be like some huge like life changing thing or whatever. But you know, but I've often talked about how.
You're gonna start turning it into one of those guys that like goes walking on the fire pits.
I think my whole thing is like it just sounds like a great way to not have to answer my phone for a while. I have mentioned before that I long to. This is when I talked about like faking some sort of addiction so I could go into rehab. But then it's like the whole thing is like if I get a real addiction in the future, then I'm screwed. Then it's like I've already used my one. I've already used my gimme. And then I was wanting to be put into a medically induced coma, which then it just seems like that just seems like a shortcut to getting said addiction. So absent any of those things, like it's like, you know, like it's this fall. I promised Laura that I would go on some actual vacation outside the country. Incidentally, by the way,
Kiss Cruise.
No,
Kiss Cruise.
I gave her the hard sell on the Kiss Cruise. And here's the thing. And so she said she's, quote, considering it. So there you go. That's so thank you to, I believe it was to our friend Futzer. It may not have been, but whoever it was that it first had been, she's actually not so whole. First of all, because it's less expensive than the cruise that she went on last, which is a long time ago. But, you know, she went on a cruise with some of her friends, I don't know, like in 95 or whatever. And it was actually more, I think, than the Kiss Cruise thing. So she was actually surprised at how reasonably some of the ticket prices, have been positioned for folks like us. So I don't know that it's going to happen or not. But just the fact that I got her to avoid saying like a flat out no. I also did juxtapose it with I positioned it against because there's a Donnie and Marie cruise that happens. And I was like, just think of how lame that must be. And also because nobody drinks on the Donnie and Marie cruise, you know, it must be more expensive because you're not making it up in booze. So that probably is what – that's one of the reasons the Kiss Cruise is probably cheaper because it's being subsidized by the sweet cost of alcohol. You know, so that's the thing that Gene doesn't consume but is happy to take the profits from, not unlike the Mormon Church. So he's all over that. By the way, did you know that Colton has the Tom Cruise crazy? Mm-hmm. So there is actually a Joko Cruise crazy. There's a Jonathan Colton Cruise crazy.
I told you about. Yes, we talked about this on the air.
I didn't think they were, but I thought it was a one-time thing.
Oh no, it's every year.
I didn't know they were doing it again. You know, I don't know when his next one is coming up. That's also a thing that I would consider. Yeah. I would almost consider the Colton Cruise.
It's
except,
a little pricey, though.
Well, I mean, but that's less of an issue to me. It's like to me, it's like, in other words, I'm not saying that it's like that I'm just made of money or whatever. But it's like if I'm already at the point where I am, but you know, if I'm going to be like budgeting money for a vacation, you know, then that's fine. Then in other words, if I'm going to be going somewhere that's more than a block away from vacation, it's going to be spendy anyway. So if it's going to be spendy, then it's just a question of figuring out like, well, how much and how are you going to cover it and whatever. To me, the issue is like if I'm going to spend the money, I want to make sure that I actually have a good time, that I enjoy myself, which is the reason why I don't really travel you know, like the world. I don't really like, you know, I don't really fork out a lot of cash to go to other countries or whatever, because I don't really have any desire to do so. And so to me, that's just money wasted. That is, that's my biggest thing, is it's like an inconvenience and it's a pain in the ass. And then also, it's just a colossal flushing of money for me to go on vacation, because I just don't care. I would rather, you could just stick me in a dimly lit room somewhere. So I have often said that my ideal vacation is where I just get to go check into a hotel or like a motel somewhere where no one knows that I'm there. No one can call me. No one has the phone number. No one, you know, there's like a sealed envelope somewhere in like a safe with my lawyer, like in case I don't come home, where they know where to look for my body. And that's it. That's why it was so glorious the first night I was in New York in March, because like the first night I was in New York, I hadn't bothered to call anybody and say, like, you know, because I didn't know like the number of the hotel or whatever. And of course, there was no like phone in the room anyway. So like no one was able to contact me at all. Under any circumstances, I could not have been. If I put a gun to your head, you couldn't have contacted me. It was awesome. So I just think about like renting out like, you know, one of those like horrible hotels like on 82nd or something. I could probably get one of those for a week for like $100. You know, if I had cash.
I remember my mother was a nurse, and my mother had worked for something like 6 years straight and hadn't taken a vacation. And she had so much vacation time saved up that they essentially were just forcing her to go on vacation. And she'd been under a fair amount of stress, and as a nurse, it's kind of a stressful job. And so she booked 2 weeks at a resort hotel in Cuernavaca, in Mexico. And Cabo San Lucas. Mm-hmm. And she came back and said, after she got back, people kept asking, "What'd you do?" She said, "Nothing." "Well, did you sightsee?" "No." "Well, you were there for 2 weeks. What did you do?" It's just like, I'd get up in the morning, I'd go down to the pool, I'd read a book, and I drank rim drinks.
Yeah.
And then at night, I ate a really nice dinner and read my book and went to sleep.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And that's all she did for 2 weeks.
I'm a huge fan of that idea. Like, that's my thing. It's like, I don't want to, you know, sightsee or go, like, look at go look at, like, some, you know, some adobe hut that was built 6,000 years ago. Like, I don't care. And I'm not, like, being willfully, like, you know, ugly as an American. It's like, I remember feeling like I'm such a dick because we were in Scotland. And I mean, first of all, we're on, you know, I, of course, being me, I insisted that we go to Loch Ness because, you know, because that is the thing that, you know, I know there's no Loch Ness monster, but when I was a kid, that was a thing I was really, really, really fascinated with. I had a huge, huge fixation on the Loch Ness monster as a kid. And so I felt like it was just sort of a closing of the circle kind of a thing, just sort of a checking it off my mental list. It's like I wanted to go see this place that I had been so fascinated with as a kid. And it actually is kind of cool because they've figured out how to really make that work, because what they do is they use not just for tourism, but they use the whole draw of the Loch Ness Monster to have a lot of really fascinating, you know, presentations and tours you can take that are all kind of science-based, or like the history of Loch Ness, where they go like, yes, the Loch Ness Monster, but also, and then they talk about, you know, like the ecosystem and the sort of chain of life that exists at that depth and the kind of the cold, you know, water, and, you know, and how they've got bizarre life forms there that don't exist anywhere else and whatever. But I remember being on Loch Ness in this boat and first of all, just thinking like, and in my own defense, Laura was like this too, I got to tell you, for me, being on Loch Ness, it was a real big snooze. I mean, there was just a whole lot of nothing there. And you know what I blame that on? I pinned the blame squarely on the gorge, because Loch Ness, really, it's just like a bigger version of the Columbia Gorge, where you are on this, you know, this kind of cold, choppy water in between two big hills on either side that are just covered with trees as far as the eye can see. And like foggy, you know, about half the time. I mean, it really was like being in a big version of the Columbia Gorge. It was totally unimpressive. But then we actually go to like some, I don't know, some place somewhere in the Loch Ness like area, where like you can get out and clamber around inside like an actual castle, you know. And it's like a castle, as Eddie Izzard would say, like a real one, not made of plaster. But I mean, it's a castle from, I don't know, from the year 5 or something. And I remember just sitting there.
You're in Scotland, where all the history comes from.
Right. And I'm standing there, and it's like, and they're talking about like some ferocious battle that was fought. And it's like, you know, here's like the portcullis that kept out the Visigoth invaders or whatever the hell. And I remember just sitting there and just thinking to myself, okay, be excited. Be interested in this. Be interested now. Damn it, you're not interested. Be interested. And trying to like, and trying to just will myself to care. And I just didn't. And I know that makes me sound like such a non-curious person. But it's like, I think anybody who knows me or has listened to me for any reason, it's not that I'm not curious. I am full of curiosity about the world. But, you know, here's the thing. I've just realized, as curious as I am about the world and about the way things operate, and you know me, I'm full of dumb science questions that everybody else knows the answer to. I'm really fascinated with how things work. I just don't need to go look at it to ask the question. That's what I've determined about myself. I can be really, really curious about the world. I can just do it from my chair, though. Like, I don't need to go look at a thing. Like, seeing a picture of a thing to me is, I've now learned, not demonstrably different from seeing the thing in person. Like, all the thoughts or questions I have about that castle in person, I could have had by looking at a photo of it. So that is why I think I don't bother to spend a lot of money going on vacation. Anyway, so to bring us all back to the point. So I've said that the ideal vacation would be just me in a Motel 6 where no one knows I am for like a week. And the sensory deprivation thing seems just like an hour-long version of that. You know, where it's like nobody's going to just, you know, come and, like, hey, can I get you to come? Can you take out the trash? Or, you know, or like ask me, you know, like, hey, we're not able to stream the files. What's up with that? Or, you know, or just like ask me to do anything at all or engage with other people in any way. It's a place where I can be away from people. That's really what it is. That's honestly what it comes down to. It's a place where people aren't allowed to talk to me, which if only I could just institute that in my daily life. Let me read this one message from our friend Todd the Corpse. And then we'll do another story, and we'll take a break here in a second. Don't forget, you can hear Don Taylor this afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific time, at Cascadia.fm or later on at HamFistedRadio.com for HamFisted Radio, where you're going to be pierced by needles. Mr. Andrew Hill is going to be doing that.
Andrew Hill, Big Jim. He's going to be piercing Big Jim Lick.
Has Jim had acupuncture before?
No, he has not.
Is he apprehensive?
A little bit, I think.
I mean, there's no reason to be, right? You can't even feel
but
the
he's,
things.
But he's great, because I asked him, I said, you know, have you ever had acupuncture? He said, nope. I said, would you be willing to do it? He goes, I am so there.
So
he's just, if it's an adventure, he says yes.
Seriously, and also, let's be honest. I mean, it's like, you know, he worked with Marconi, so it's like the bar has been raised so high for what you might ask him to do for the sake of the show. I mean, realize that, I mean, at one point, I think they were like taking his back hair off with duct tape on the air. Also, on more than one occasion, he had to dress up in like a mascot pig costume and a thong and go wave at cars out front after like losing some football bet or whatever. So, you know, anybody who's worked is like, you know, with a, you know, a DJ or part of a DJ collective, you know, you can't embarrass them. They have no whatever you could think of to shame them. It's like it's been surpassed like so many times. Let's see. So this is I just wanted to read this because this is you were making the observation yesterday while we were, again, revisiting the issue of Facebook and my not going to the front page or whatever. So Todd, the Corpse, actually says, he posts on Facebook, he says, I find it intriguing, Rick, that you have over 2,500 Facebook friends, and this whole time you've been thinking that they apparently only ever use Facebook to say something to or about you because the only thing you ever read is your wall. And then he notes something that is intriguing at a couple levels. He says, Todd says, my shrink once, this is Todd saying this, he says, my shrink once told me that I am, quote, a monolith of narcissism, end quote. He says, if he ever met you, I think he would run shrieking out of the room, ha, ha, ha. And so that's less interesting than the idea that Todd himself was called a monolith of narcissism by his shrink, that he didn't call himself that, his shrink referred to him as that. That seems like a thing that a reputable shrink wouldn't say. Monolith seems like it. That seems like a little bit of undue color commentary or injecting into the psychiatric play by play. If one said, you know, you have narcissistic traits, or you are exhibiting borderline tendencies or something like that, but saying that you are a monolith of narcissism just seems unnecessarily flowery, you know, and like somebody's been reading a little bit too much, you know.
Well, maybe what with his narcissism, the shrink was having trouble getting through to Todd the point he was trying to make. And so he had to
put it in a grandiose term. You are a staggering obelisk of self-involvement.
Sorry, I don't see what you're getting at. I'm sorry.
That's awesome. Okay, no, I'm going to choose to believe that that's true. That's wonderful. No, I have never had that observation made to me by any of my. In fact, it's the opposite, where I just had the shrink tell me that I was just wasting my time or my money. So I don't even – like the shrinks don't even find me that interesting. They don't even find me interesting enough to keep around like for amusement's sake.
See, I have my Pirates of the Caribbean keychain from probably like 20 years ago that my friends made for me that says – has my nickname emblazoned on it, Donetta, Queen of the Universe, because – of my apparent belief system that I am the center.
Donetta?
Well, yeah. When you have a one-syllable name and people try to come up with a nickname for you, they end up just
lengthening it.
So I had a friend who called me Donetta. And then, and then there was the whole Donetta Queen of the Universe thing. Because, As apparently I often behaved as if I was the center of it.
Am I mispronouncing the word sauna?
No, sauna.
All right. Thomas Gilded, that thing of typing. It's pronounced sauna, and then he put S-A-U-N-A, not S-A-W-N-A. And I don't understand the difference between those two or what I was saying. I might have.
Is he trying to say it's sauna?
No, I think he's.
It's sauna.
No, I think that maybe it is sauna, but I've been saying something else. Which is possible because
no, you were saying sauna correctly.
I don't know. I'm so confused. But I don't know because like apparently I grew up being mistaught the pronunciation of the word miracle because I did what some people from Washington State do. I pronounced it miracle for a while, which is not like not unlike people in Utah who say pillow and milk as opposed to pillow and milk. So it's not it's not like it's outside the realm of possibility that I have my own like weird pronunciations of things. All right, and there you go with that. All right, we'll take a break. I promised to play that Colton thing, so we'll do that here. We will play this. So this is a remix of Code Monkey. This is by a woman named Kristen Schertz, who is a ukulele player, but I believe not the same one that he kind of brings with him on tour when he's in the Northwest sometimes. Because it's like that thing that he's been at the Aladdin twice and he's brought that girl who I think is from Seattle. I think she's like 18, 19, 20 years old now. She was the one who had the song about I Hope Your Kids Find Your MySpace Page. And she was a ukulele player and she graduated from Seattle. He heard about her and she was a big fan. And she had that thing of playing Toxic by Britney Spears online. Anyway, and then it brought her on tour. I think this is a different ukulele player like altogether. But this is Jonathan Sanctioned and tested, Colton approved. This is Code Monkey. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We're back after this. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code Monkey not say it out loud. Code Monkey not crazy, just proud. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey very simple man with big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Monkey like you. Code Monkey, hang around at front desk till your sweater look nice. Monkey. Code Monkey, offer buy you soda. Bring you cup, bring you ice. You say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for chat. Code Monkey have long walk back to cubicle. He sit down, pretend to work. Code Monkey not thinking so straight. Code Monkey not feeling so great. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey very simple man. Big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you a lot. Code Monkey have every reason to get out this place. Code Monkey just keep on working, see your soft pretty face. Much rather wake up, eat a coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, monkey how. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew.
monkey, very simple man. Big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Cold monkey like you. Cold monkey like you.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You picking on the weaker man. You don't know. Someday I'll be living in a big old city, and all you're ever gonna be is mean. Someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me, and all you're ever gonna be is mean. Why you gotta be so mean? And your wildfire lies and your humiliation. You have pointed out my flaws again, as if I don't already see them. I walk with my head down, trying to block you out, cause I'll never impress you. I just wanna feel okay again. I bet you got pushed around. Somebody made you cold.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
What was that sound your computer just made? Is that like a Twitter client or something?
Yeah, it is. It's a TweetDeck, and it has a thing that the new updates pop up in the corner. And unless I have it muted, it makes this little twittery, tweety noise.
I only ask, not like I really care, but just because. Have you noticed? Is this a thing you've noticed that as you wander around this ever changing world in which we live, there are certain electronic noises you hear everywhere you go. They're not coming from your phone though, or from your type of so you don't know what they are, but they're just omnipresent. And that little like fluttery thing that your computer just did, which is I guess is supposed to sound kind of like a bird. That's a noise that I hear everywhere, and yet this is the first chance that I've had to actually ask somebody what the hell that is. Okay, so it is an update or it's a new message on via Twitter or whatever. All right, it's like with Blackberries are like that, where Blackberries only had like a finite number of sounds unless you really wanted to go to the process of adding more, and so it would be that thing of like you would if you knew Blackberry noises you would hear them sort of everywhere, but otherwise it was just a thing that you would. Apple's the same way because, Apple has the same set of sounds for the most part for Macs and for iPhones. And if you didn't know them, all you would know is it's this omnipresent noise. And that fluttering thing, because Greg's computer does that too. And I've always wondered exactly what it was. I've never had the chance to ask. It's like smelling. Here's the thing. It's like, you know what it is? It's like if you're a guy, it's like getting onto an elevator or you're passing a guy in the street and there's like a cologne that you quite like and then realizing there's no non-awkward way to ask him exactly what it is he's wearing. And so forth. Hello, you are listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. It's 503-505-6964. That's 503-505-6964. Hello, Dawn, how are you?
I'm okay.
Are you prepared with more news for the people?
I am.
All right, excellent. Here's Dawn Taylor at the news desk.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Well, have we figured out a way to do our monkey watch?
Let's see. Well, no.
No.
So now it's just going to be me going.
Yeah. Okay. Monkey watch.
There you go. There's your monkey watch. I'm sorry. I failed. I know. And I feel like somebody actually did find it and send it to us. And then I subsequently lost it again. I'll look at my inbox like right now.
Well, dozens of people at the Kansas City Zoo were forced to go inside after a monkey escaped from its enclosure on Tuesday afternoon. People in the Africa section of the zoo said there was a commotion about 2:15 p.m. and employees came over to tell them to go inside the closest buildings. Patrons said zoo employees told them a monkey was on the loose. They said they were kept inside for about 20 minutes. Officials at the Kansas City Zoo said a red-capped mangabey named Floyd got out after a zookeeper forgot to close a padlock. The animal was out for about 30 minutes. Zoo director Randy Wistoff said he planned to go over safety procedures with the staff again. He said if any animal was going to get out, the mangabey was one of the safest possible options. He said, "We didn't want to chase down a monkey in Swope Park. It's too big of an area." The vet staff went in and tranquilized him. He's inside sleeping it off, and he's got a great story to tell.
Fantastic. So I was just checking my inbox right now, and I do not believe that. I think there were a couple of the other watches that I had misfiled or that I wasn't able to find, and the people tracked them down and sent them to me. But that is a thing we are still without. So I gotta once again go through all my I did this huge massive backup of all my data to an online storage facility that is sort of so I don't get Ryan'd by just having like burgled or a fire or something, or just if I have like a, because I have this 2 terabyte hard drive at home, and it was pointed out to me that if that thing crashes, that I'm basically just screwed. And, anything that has moving parts or that I buy it, anything that I got off the shelf at Best Buy is not, going to run forever. So I've actually been doing an online backup of all my stuff. And now that is all done, I might actually just start doing some serious, rooting around and trying to find the monkey watch, which
maybe
I'm sure lurks
somewhere. Maybe when that iCloud gets up and running, you can put things there.
No.
In your iCloud.
Hey, what is this Twitter thing you just put out just now, like a minute ago?
And you're reading my Twitter.
Just shut the hell up with that. It's on the internet for the entire goddamn world to see.
I was surprised that you were reading the Twitter. That's all.
I have a Twitter. It's right here in front of me. What?
I got an email.
Because it doesn't have my name in it.
You got the email too.
I didn't.
Yeah, no, it was, you were, I thought you were, CC'd on it. It just said Dawn Taylor is always wrong.
Oh, I saw that.
And there was nothing in the body. It was just that. It was like so freaking snotty, and I just felt
see that. I was going to show it to you for lulls during the break.
Yeah,
glad I didn't.
Screw you. Whoever you are, guy.
Somebody's having a bad day.
Well,
Yes. What?
I don't know.
For the love of God.
There's this thing.
You are having a bad day. First of all, because you acted borderline annoyed just now that I saw something you posted to everyone in the entire goddamned world.
All right.
Also, I'm like 3 feet away from you. Yeah. So, you know.
But it's a great divide, this table. There's yeah, except, Rick Land, and then there's Dononia over here.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. I know. You put something on Twitter, it's not like it's outside the realm of possibility that like someone might see it.
I know. I didn't think you'd see it like right this second. I was just in my own little world, as I am, being the center of the universe.
What's happening over there today?
I don't know.
No, but seriously, you seem all wigged out about something
some
today.
Some days I can handle the whole, you know, you suck, you don't know what you're talking about, Dunn's always wrong, rah, 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 thing. I can handle it just fine. It's like, yeah, it's part of the gig. It's part of the game. It's part of the deal. Some days it's a little hurtful. It just strikes me as a little hurtful. That no, I am not always wrong.
I don't think scientifically speaking, they meant that you were always wrong about everything in, you know, at all times, in all spheres of discussion, everywhere. I think we might, let me see if I have the same email. Because I actually saw this during the break just now. We were playing the songs, and I chuckled to myself, and I thought, I should show Dawn this amusing email that just came in. Because on my phone, it doesn't show. I have the CC field just collapsed. So unless I specifically look, I just don't see who's CC, because sometimes it takes up the whole screen. So I didn't know if you got it or not. And it just, the funny thing to me was, admittedly maybe less funny to you, was that there was no actual body to the email. It just said in all caps, except for the word is, which is lowercase. It was like all caps, Dawn, lowercase, is, all caps, always wrong. And to me, it was like a thing of such comedic overstatement that it became hilarious.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
And
seems like you're given I don't know, what is a forward email, like way too much control over your emotional state.
Look, yes. And a friend of mine who's a film critic, he responded to that and said, but I thought you knew that you're wrong and gay and a woman. Like, yes, I do know that. In fact, I should be aware of that. And just, yes, I'm wrong and gay and a woman.
I have no idea what we're talking about right now.
That was something that became a thing back when I was a film critic. The whole thing of, you know, getting email and from people all the time just telling you, you're wrong and you're gay and it's because you're a woman. And just saying, yes, I'm wrong and gay and a woman.
Well, and somebody has actually just said sort of in different words what I was going to say, which is really, if anything, I mean, you should revel in your power to annoy people who've never even met you. I mean, really, honestly, when you think about it, I mean, just the sound of my voice, which has no physical mass or weight of its own, can't be quantified or put on a scale, can't keep it in a bag, you know, you can't carry it around with you in a satchel, and yet it just drives people completely, like that woman in the Neighborhood Watch program with the guy, the KPAM guy, where she's like, I knew there was something crazy with you, and like slammed the door and kicked him out of the whatever. I mean, realize that like this, just like by dint of speaking over the years, I've probably generated hundreds of pages of hate mail being sent to me. I mean, really, which is just dumb when you think about it, like that anybody would care about what I say, because I'm just some dick. I'm just some jackass with a microphone. So it's like, who really takes the time to sit down and type out a, like, you know, dear trashy queer, and like send off some, you know, dear dumbest guy on the planet? Or like the guy yesterday when I posted that thing about like, dear menu, you know, restaurants, don't put your menus in PDF format, goddamn PDF. And the guy like, dear Rick Emerson, why don't you clean up your language? I mean, to me, that just makes my day. The idea that I can have a disproportionate impact. I mean, some people live their entire lives and they feel like nothing they do makes any difference. You have made a quantifiable difference in someone's day, even if it's by irritating that someone.
Yeah. Most of the time, I actually get pleasure out of the hate mail and the snarky things. I really do. But some days I'm just feeling, I think, a little more fragile than other days.
Is someone riding the cotton pony?
Maybe.
I see.
Maybe
okay.
A bit.
I should have gone right to that. Oh, by the way, the person who sent the Dawn is always wrong email has responded and saying, he says, I'm assuming it's a he, but he says, I was referring to the way Rick treats you. Jeez. So there you go.
Oh, God.
All right.
So, no.
Well done.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Hate fail.
And here I was wrong about the way I responded to being told I was always wrong.
I see.
Thus reinforcing it.
Okay.
Let's do our Taser Watch.
Here's your Taser Watch for Wednesday, right here on the Rick Emerson Radio program.
I can do it!
Massachusetts and AOC has noted, God, only an effing girl would look at it that way. Jeez. All caps. So there you go. Excellent. That's fantastic. Here's Don Taylor.
Police in Gastonia, North Carolina, used a taser to subdue a man accused of resisting arrest and trying to steal sausage and other items from stores. The Gaston Gazette reported that police arrested 19-year-old Anthony Terrell Livius and charged him with taking some food from a discount store and then trying to steal sausage packets, biscuits, and lemonade from a grocery store.
Livius? Is he also a wizard in his spare time?
I think it's Livius.
Okay.
I put an extra I in there. Livius. Police say they used the weapon after Livius refused to stop walking after two officers confronted him near the grocery store. The officers say he also put his hands in his pockets, probably protecting his sausages. Livius is charged with resisting police and two counts of misdemeanor larceny. He's being held in the Gaston County Jail. He was trying to steal sausages and biscuits.
And he resisted furiously with much vigor. And
yes.
They gave him what for with the taser.
Right.
All right. Did you see that penis thing, the penis story about the woman, not unlike the cow running away with the spoon, the woman running away with the penis?
I don't think so.
I think I have that in front of me. We might actually do an ad hoc penis watch here in a second. All right. Are we at the end of that particular taser watch?
Oh, we are.
It's a very straightforward taser watch, but satisfying nonetheless. Wait, and there we go. Excellent. You are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining us. It's 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be joined by our good friend, Mr. Keelan King. He'll be in the studio talking about his new project, his new CD, Star Pilots Lament, a long-playing recording and composition of musical works, which will be available as of next Tuesday. It goes on sale. There's going to be a listening party this coming Saturday. It's happening at the Space Room, so we'll be talking to him tomorrow. And then Friday, Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio with another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. I'll have to see if I can track this down. It was on Drudge, and now it has subsequently vanished. It was a thing where, like a chick just like showed up at the police department, like penis in tow, and then like the penis's owner was elsewhere, and she's like, "Hey, so I have this penis. You know, where'd you get it? Off some guy." And indeed, she did get it, and by get it, I mean cut it off some guy. And then I guess they had to, and then it was a whole lot of like, "Well, then let's go find him." So I didn't really read beyond that because I didn't want to fake my reactions. Oh. I wanted to have a legitimate. I wanted my horror to be real and sincere on the air. So I'll see if I can track that down. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-505-6964. Here is Don Taylor.
Glenn Beck is ending his run as host of his Fox News show, but he has just signed a new deal with Simon & Schuster that includes plans for Beck to continue to write numerous books every year and for his production company, Mercury Radio Arts, to launch a new book imprint. The deal is his latest bid to expand his media reach even as he prepares to depart Fox News.
What is called Mercury Radio Arts?
Apparently that's his production company, is Mercury Radio Arts.
But even the non-radio stuff is called Mercury Radio Arts?
I guess so,
that's
yeah.
Kind of awesome, actually. Good for you.
So he already has the conservative news and commentary website, The Blaze, and recently launched a group discount site called Markdown.com. He's also reportedly prepping the launch of a new web TV channel. His first release under his new publishing deal will be his nonfiction trade paperback, The Original Argument, The Federalist Case for the Constitution, Adapted for the 21st Century. That's going to go on sale in 2 weeks, but as of Wednesday morning, it had already reached number 30 on Amazon's bestseller list.
Excellent.
He also planned to release a new novel called The Snow Angel in October. And then the new imprint, Mercury, Inc., will publish and promote authors that Beck is passionate about across a variety of genres. The first release will be a young adult novel called Michael Vay, The Prisoner of Cell 25, Richard Paul Evans.
Walker's been looking for for additional distribution for his book. Maybe this could be his outlet. The young adult stylings of Glenn Beck. Here's the thing about Glenn Beck that is sort of it's sort of fascinating to me. You know, the idea that he not only does you know, he not only does his, you know, he was doing his TV show and he does the radio thing, and then he has his political books that he writes, but then he does churn out these, like, Christmas family things. Like, what was that? That was that thing he was on a couple years ago, the Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
Which, like, in a perverse way, I almost want to buy and watch, because I think it was a book and then also like a live sort of show, like a live, like Glenn Beck reads to you from the new holiday classic, the Christmas sweater. And I'm pretty sure on the front, this is why I think that Glenn Beck, I mean, I just feel in my bones that he's just sort of goofing on everybody. Because he doesn't Glenn Beck seem almost like a guy who would have been created by The Daily Show as like a character? Because on the front of the Christmas sweater, which again is like not a, it's not a polemic, it's not any sort of political screed. It's just, you know, it's like one of those like Paul Evans or whatever that guy's name is, the Christmas box, that guy.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those Bridges of Madison County crap things that comes out every year, but it's for Christmas. And they become, you know, enduring holiday. And then they all end up on the Hallmark Channel starring that guy who was John Boy and the Waltons. But it was like, you know, Glenn Beck's, the Christmas sweater, you know, now a live presentation. And I'm pretty sure that the actual DVD you get of it, I swear to you, I think it's actually him sitting and reading the book to a bunch of children. And on the front, I think he is actually on the front of the DVD.
He's wearing a big cuddly sweater.
He's wearing the Christmas sweater and then like hugging himself. And it's just, it's so great because it's just so ludicrous. I mean, it makes no sense like at all. It's just so unbelievably bizarre that it's got to be intentional that he's just kind of screwing with everybody.
Like that kind of science fiction-y bed we've been playing, is that Keelan's music?
Yes, yes.
Okay, if you could play that, I will read you the Amazon description of Michael Vay, the prisoner of cell 25.
Fantastic. All right, here you go. Here's Michael Vay, the prisoner of cell 25.
To everyone at Meridian High School, Michael Vay is an ordinary 14-year-old. In fact, the only thing that seems to set him apart is the fact that he has Tourette's syndrome. But Michael is anything but ordinary. Michael has special powers. Electric powers. Michael thinks he's unique until he discovers that a cheerleader named Taylor also has special powers. With the help of Michael's friend, Austin, O-S-T-I-N, by the way, the three of them set out to discover how Michael and Taylor ended up this way, but their investigation brings them to the intention of a powerful group who want to control the electric children, and through them, the world. Michael will have to rely on his wits, powers, and friends if he's to survive.
That's fantastic. All right, there you go, the literary stylings of Glenn Beck.
He's a 14-year-old who has Tourette's syndrome and magical electric powers.
Well, I mean, look, there aren't a lot of Tourette's role models. I mean, really, there's just John Melendez. And I mean, that he is probably not someone you wish for your children to emulate, you know, in many ways. So it's about time that particular walk of life have its own figurehead. Excellent. All right, that's Glenn Beck, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, we'll just do this because I got them both in front of me here. So here's your ad hoc, not single, but double penis.
Take
watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis.
Wednesday.
My troubles start a melting away.
Bow, bow,
I take
bow.
A look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Bow,
excellent. Here is your double penis watch for Wednesday. And again, this is an ad hoc thing. By the way, apparently, Thomas Kincaid painted a portrait of each founding father wearing a Glenn Beck Christmas sweater. That's wonderful. So I don't know which of these do you want to hear first? Do you want to hear domestic or foreign?
Oh, foreign. First.
Okay, we'll start with foreign. This is from Bangladesh. A 40-year-old Bangladeshi woman cut off a man's penis during an alleged attempted assault and took it to a police station as evidence, police in a remote part of Bangladesh said. By the way, can I just tell you, you and I have talked about, like, with the scaling down of news services and how they're just firing everybody, that there's fewer and fewer people to do these jobs. And so as a result, you know, they're relying ever more heavily on not just, you know, like interns and just, and aggregating the same few stories from the same services, but using the same clip art and sometimes clip art that only vaguely relates to the story. There was like something you were talking about where it was like, I don't know, it was clip art of like a story about, it was the clip art about like a heroic dog or something. And then it's like the clip art you found was, I don't know, it was something of just like a bone sitting on the ground. It was something that made no sense. But the clip art for this, I swear to God, what is that thing they have in the kitchen that's like a long magnetic strip that you hang knives on?
It's a magnetic knife.
But you know, everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's a long strip of magnetized metal, and you just go and stick knives on there. So I swear to God, the clip art, and this is on CBS. This is from CBS News. The clip art accompanying this photograph is just a huge, huge magnetic knife rack in a kitchen somewhere. By the way, covered with huge, huge long knives. 40-year-old Bangladeshi woman cut off a man's penis during an alleged attempted assault, took it to a police station as evidence, police in a remote part of Bangladesh said, according to CBS affiliate KPHO. The woman, a married mother of three, was allegedly attacked while she was sleeping in her... Here's a place you don't want to be sleeping because bad things will happen. While she was sleeping in her shanty.
Oh, yeah.
Presumably singing a jig of some kind. Saturday night, officers told Agence France Press, as he tried to assault her, the woman cut his penis off with a knife. She then wrapped the penis up. Well, this is, you know, preservation first. She wrapped the penis up in a piece of polyethylene, except it's not polyethylene, it's polythene. I don't really know what that is. Brought it to the Bangladeshi police station as evidence of the crime. The woman has filed a case accusing the man, who is 40 and a married father of five, of attempted rape, saying he'd been harassing her for months. The severed penis has been kept in the police station. And in Bangladesh, I can't imagine that there's, I mean, maybe I'm underselling their technical advancements there, but imagine it's just in like a, like the intern's drawer. Like the last guy hired has to keep that there next to, you know, like next to the inkwell where they stick your fingers. This rape suspect is undergoing treatment in a hospital, which seems like it just, and giving him treatment in a hospital almost just seems like they're just, that's just adding insult to injury. Because really, what can they treat there? I mean, you're stumped up down there. I mean, there's nothing you can, you know. Oh, and then he's got this. Once he gets better, we'll arrest him, the police told Agence France. And then
they're going to let him rest up first.
Seriously, hey, how's that whole severing of your penis going? I'm better. Great. Get in the back of the car. Excellent. And then, yeah, again, this clip art, which is just awesome. The clip art shows 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15 knives stuck in a magnetic knife rack in some kitchen somewhere in the world. And that is the appropriate art with which CBS News has chosen to illustrate the story about a thing that happened in a shanty in Bangladesh. Because they have a lot of magnetic knife racks covered in, you know, like fine titanium knives in shanties. All right, that's Penis Watch Part 1. Penis Watch Part 2, this is the local, or at least domestic version. I don't know if we actually had this detail of the Representative Wiener story last hour in the Legion of News. This is from Reuters. Representative Wiener, quote, uncertain whether photo is of his penis. Did we have that actual, like, that facet of the story?
No,
that he was
didn't.
Not clear about whether he could pick his own penis out of a lineup?
No.
Could you pick your own boobs out of a lineup?
Possibly, yeah, probably.
What about your area? Do you think if that were put in like a photo array, you think
probably
you could
not,
spot
but,
your own?
But the thing is about ladies is we have to like really kind of work to look at ours.
Well, that's true, I guess. That's just a lot of sitting in a circle with a handheld mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dateline New York. New York Congressman Anthony Weiner said on Wednesday he did not send a lewd photo over his Twitter account, but cannot be sure that the photo was not of him. Quote, I'm not making any of this up. Quote, it certainly doesn't look familiar to me, but I don't want to say with certitude. He's turned into Norman Mailer. I don't want to say with certitude to you something that I don't know to be the certain truth, Wiener told CNN in an interview. I didn't send any Twitter picture, he said, adding that the photo might have been manipulated. Wiener has said his account was, yes, hacked. When a lewd photo, I love the word lewd, L-E-W, there's something about the word lewd, L-E-W-D, that reads, it looks like it is. It looks like it's like a visual onomatopoeia. When a lewd photo of a man in, I wish I had a music bed for this. Hold on, we gotta do this. I didn't send any Twitter picture, he said, adding that the photo might have been manipulated. Wiener has said his account was hacked when a lewd photograph of a man in bulging boxer briefs was tweeted to a 21-year-old female college student in Washington State over the weekend. This seems like it was a prank to make fun of my name, Wiener said. When you're named Wiener, that happens a lot. Wiener's office told Reuters on Tuesday that the New York congressman, who has a high profile as an advocate of liberal causes, had hired an attorney to advise him on whether or not he could press criminal charges as a result of the alleged hack of his Twitter account. This is not a national security matter, Wiener said. We're not making a federal case out of this. I'm not sure it... This is a quote now. I'm not sure it rises to that level, he said. He's one after the other. Wiener said he'd retained a firm to look into the matter. Said the firm I've hired has then in turn retained an internet security company that is investigating how he's attacked. His account was hacked. He declined to say whether there was actually a photograph of him in his undies that could have been sent to the student. That's part of the problem with the way this has progressed, and one of the reasons I was perhaps a little stiff yesterday. He said, I swear to you, I am just reading what it says here from Reuters. This is part of the problem. This is one of the reason I was perhaps a little stiff yesterday. Wiener told reporters on Capitol. You almost have to hand it to him, though, for just going that direction. I mean, really, for just grabbing onto it and just rolling around with it. The student, Jeanette Cordova, issued a statement to the New York Daily News that said she did not personally know Wiener, but said, I am a fan. Wiener had tens of thousands of followers on Twitter before the weekend's incident. In contrast, he only follows 198 people. That seems like a weird thing to end the story on. All right, so there you go. So in the one story we have...
How do you not know if there are photographs of you in your underpants?
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, I could utter with reasonable certitude that there are no such photographs of me.
That's pretty much an admission that, yes, there are photographs of me in my underwear. And yeah, that was probably one of them.
Not sure if it rises to that level. This is part of the reason I was a little stiff yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Awesome. There's your double penis watch for... And didn't Twitter just the other day, like, didn't somebody just subpoena, like, a whole bunch of crap from Twitter? When some government, was it, like, in Europe somewhere, where they just subpoenaed a whole bunch of user data from Twitter? So, I mean, it seems implausible that a New York congressman couldn't just say, like, hey, you, Twitter, like, hand over what might be evidence, if indeed there was much lulzing of his account or whatever, if he was noobed or something by some guy somewhere, you know, in a basement. So, all right, there's your double penis watch for
take a look at my enormous penis.
Wow, it's just fantastic.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
So in response to my tiny little temper tantrum I threw on Twitter, Portland Bear responds, you're not always wrong. You picked the best part of town to live in. Your apartment complex is awesome.
Fantastic. See?
So Portland Bear is roaming around.
And I got an unsigned message that said, we love you, show pony.
Oh.
So there you go. That's like a thing that somebody shouts out from the audience at the end of a teen comedy, you know, written by John Hughes or somebody.
Well,
you know, and then there's a
slow clap.
Yeah,
yes.
It's awesome. Yes, he's getting the shaft. Yes, huh? All right. Well, let's do like a couple more here, and then we'll get ready to bring the curtain down on this, only because you have got to be heading over to do Hamfisted Radio at Cascadia.fm. So let me understand this. So Big Jim is going to be getting he's going to be getting acupuncture, and they're going to do the flame thing too.
I don't think he's going to be doing the fire thing.
He's a hairy man. You don't want to be putting fire near his body.
No, probably not. They're just going to be doing acupuncture.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I... And so, do you know if they're going to have to remove any, like, because he is a substantially hairy man. Are they going to have to get rid of that to some degree or just part it?
just take a comb and just part it.
You know, like you're just sort of nit... You know, like you're like literally nitpicking, you know?
I don't know. We will find out.
I guess I want to give it all away. I guess that's a thing that people will learn as we progress. So we'll do a couple more here, and then we'll bring the curtain on this. Don't forget that tomorrow we're going to have Mr. Keelan King in the studio to talk about his new project, Star Pilots Lament. And then on Friday, Mr. Big Jim Willing will be here, do a little recap of his acupuncture experience, and also do another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. Today's Rick Emerson Radio program brought to you by Squires Electric at 503-252-6. 1609 or SquiresElectric.com. You can also contact them at Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. And if you are dealing with wires or wiring issues in your home or your office, and if you're having any kind of difficulty making sure that things are done correctly, or they're going to be wired correctly, if you're going to be renting it out to somebody else, you're going to be buying somebody else's property, you just want to make sure that everything is on the up and up, because it is not unlike you leaving your change at the kiosk. You have to go back and get it taken care of later. It's like, you know, once you have signed on the line that is dotted, like getting that stuff just becomes a huge, huge problem. Plus, you don't want it to look like you just sold a guy like a pig in a poke. So, you know, you just make sure that everything works properly. Or, you know, as we get into, I mean, not like summer is ever going to goddamn get here. But if it did and you were the kind who wanted to, you know, like use your air conditioning, you don't want to be the guy who just knocks out the power in the building or the block or, you know, the whatever, or, you know, causes one of those transformer things out there on the power pole to go like, you know, out of the blue. You don't want to be that guy. So just make sure that everything in your house is wired correctly. It's running properly. How do you do that? Well, I'll tell you. You contact Squires Electric. They are proud business partners here of the Emerson News Network. They help to bring you this show and Legion of News. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. You can find out more about them by going to SquiresElectric.com. That is SquiresElectric.com. SquiresElectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. Yes, yours. At the news desk here is Don Taylor. We'll do a couple more here before we end things.
I'm trying to find out where this... yes, okay. Of course it's Florida.
Where?
Florida. Police departments all over the country gain revenue by seizing items from criminals and then reselling them. Now, the Springfield, Florida Police Department is looking for buyers for a very unique car.
Something can't be very unique.
Sorry. A 1978 Chevy Impala sits in the impound lot at the Springfield Police Department.
Will I be able to guess what's unique about it?
You could try.
I mean, is it probable or likely that if I asked a couple of clarifying questions, I could figure out what is unique?
Sure, possibly.
Was it owned by a celebrity?
No.
Was it filled with cocaine?
Yes, but that's not what makes it unique.
Okay. Is what is unique about it something about the actual manufacture or, you know, the physical structure or, you know, design of the car?
Yes.
Is it the substance the car is made of?
No.
Is it the compartment that was put on the car to hold the drugs?
No.
Okay, I give up.
Along with the fact that it has 24-inch chrome rims and 18 speakers
yeah.
in the front seat,
Woo.
Both doors in the back seat, it also has a custom paint job. They are referring to it as the Joker Mobile. You
awesome.
Can see it in the Dropbox if you would like
to
take a look
at
it.
Posted. Awesome.
Because it has picture of the Joker painted
wonderful.
On the side of the car.
Then I'm headed there right now.
78 Chevy Impala. Police in November made a traffic stop. Officer was talking to the driver of the vehicle. The other officer looked in the car and saw some baggies of marijuana. When they later searched the car, they discovered cocaine. The driver was arrested. The car was turned over to the police department, and they are going to auction it off to buy equipment for the police department. Police Chief Thorne says the Jokermobile shows they're not kidding around when it comes to dealing with criminals.
I think they mean clowning around. That's the joke they were looking for there.
He said, bad guys, we'll get your assets and we'll use them for the public good.
All right, so I'm going to be posting a photo of this. You can go to rickemerson.com/pictures, visual aids for June 1st, 2011. You can see a picture of the Joker Mobile. Okay, that's pretty awesome. That really is, I mean that, and plus the fact that it was owned by an actual villain is sort of great too. Although I'd say, you know, it gets very low points in the staying off the radar of the cops.
Yeah,
you know, sort of. I mean that category.
And also with 18 speakers in like the front seats and the dash and the whatnot.
And I thought that it was just sort of like wear and tear in the vehicle, but it's not. This sort of like you can see this again at rickemerson.com/pictures visual aids for June 1st. I thought that it was damage to the car, but it looks like it's the Joker, and then it's like the paint actually sort of trails out to the side. The design sort of goes. It actually is. I mean, look. Here's the thing.
It really is gorgeous.
If it were not for the fact that this immediately draws the attention of the man, like if you were just some sort of drug lord, you know, like I don't know, like in Brazil or something, and you could just freewheel around a neighborhood without fear of arrest or punishment, this is exactly the kind of thing you'd want to drive. And while occasionally just shooting someone at random, just to, you know, just sort of keep the rule of the law and order in place. So,
or if you just wanted to drive it around Portland while dressed as a superhero,
I would totally do that. That's fantastic. Excellent. But is it?
Yes, Cable Hashitani needs that car.
Is it up for auction now, or has it been auctioned already?
No, it's going up for auction.
See, that's one of those things, though. That's like the thing that you go to the police auction hoping to get, and then you never can, because that's the bait and switch, I guess, where you go there hoping to get that, but really then you just end up getting like a K car.
Yeah.
You know, or something with like one wheel. So yeah, no, nobody wants that. Mm. All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll end this damn miserable charade.
Well, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the 11th year of this century is coming up in November, and Facebook users have launched a campaign to declare 11/11/11 Nigel Tufnell Day, in hopes of, you know, that. So. That's really the whole story. If you go to you look up Nigel Tufnell Day on Facebook, you will find an actual Facebook page where apparently they are trying to get someone to name it.
See, the thing about that is, it's like, I don't even really know what you would do apart from just having like a guy write a declaration somewhere and stamp it. I guess maybe that's it. Maybe that's the whole thing. I mean, I can't really imagine what would be done to celebrate that day apart from the actual name.
Yeah, I'm not sure that other than making a Facebook page, these people have really thought that far in advance.
No, but I mean, bonus points for, being able to actually get somebody to report that story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the American news media, hard at work, as always. Excellent. All right. So, we're ending things a few minutes early today because Don's going to be heading over to Cascadia.fm to do another installment of Ham Fisted Radio. And
frankly, he's just sick of looking at me.
To whom are you referring?
You.
That's a terrible thing to say. Quit projecting your weirdness all over me today. I am not some tabula rasa onto which you can just spray all of your neuroses. Well, I mean, I guess I can't. I mean, I suppose if you are going to view me as that, there's probably not a lot I can do about it. But I'm just saying, like, has Rick Emerson said one mean thing to you today? No.
Not really. No.
No. In fact, the only thing that you even took as mean, I then said I was.
That wasn't even you.
Was in. The thing I said in Legion of News, I revealed A, was in jest, and was also to funnel, more paying subscribers to this That's very fine right. radio program. And I was stopping you from talking about that thing, but going, I don't care. But it was really. It was like, I do care enough to charge people to hear about it. And then, we talked about it here. So I'm just saying. Rick Emerson has been nothing but supportive, by the way.
I will probably be less crazy tomorrow.
Okay. I'm just saying. Let's have no illusions about who in this room is on a more even keel today. And I think has been pleasant and cheerful the entire day. That would be me.
You have been very cheerful.
Rick Emerson. All right. Let's see. Well, I don't know what the hell we're doing. We're just ending this. So you can go listen to Don Taylor and Hamfisted Radio about 45 minutes from now at Cascadia.fm, Hamfisted Radio. And you can get it later at hamfistedradio.com. That is Don Taylor along with today, Mr. Big Jim Willig. Also, Bobby Fatboy Roberts, who's going to be there engineering and doing things as he always does. All right. And on that note, we say goodbye to you. Don't forget funemploymentradio.com. Also going to have a new episode later on this afternoon and so forth. We will be back again tomorrow with an industrial strength show featuring our good friend Mr. Keelan King, who's going to be in the studio. And Friday, Big Jim Willig will be here with another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101. The Rick Emerson Show comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. As always, we thank you for listening. It is Wednesday, June 1st, 2011, and that is The Frequency, Kenneth. As always, thank you for listening. Be safe. See you tomorrow. Bye now.